everyone. Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program that is devoted to those of you who, like me, have come to realize, or at least are open to the realization, that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they're all counterproductive. I'm Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us in this discussion anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll-free. Scott is paying the bill, 877-300-7645.
I haven't missed a payment yet on him.
That is correct, and we appreciate that. U.S. President Barack Hussein Obamanator, hailed as a step towards a more hopeful world, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani said it was a constructive engagement that works. Israel, however, that has vastly better intelligence on what Iran is doing and where they stand relative to their bombs, said it would do whatever it could to kill the deal and called it a historic surrender. Remember when the Obamanator was running for president now, 6 years ago, and all he had to offer was change we can believe in. Change we can believe in. That's what he said. He was going to reboot our relationships with Russia. Well, if reigniting the Cold War is rebooting, then he's been a tremendous success. Change we can believe in. Yes, he was going to restore the American economy. And yet, over the 6 years he's been president, he's nearly doubled America's debt. Change we can believe in. And yet, he brought in more retreads from a previous administration than any president in American history. Change we can believe in, a more constructive dialogue, he said, and yet he's the most condescending, most isolated, most socialistic president in American history. Change we can believe in. We'll end the Iraq War, yes, by capitulating entirely to Iran. Not only relative to their nuclear ambitions, but we'll give them a military. We literally gave them Iraq. And now in the enemy that we have armed, the Islamic State, we are providing Iran with all manner of weapons, the best of our weapons, to bring down the enemy that we armed to attack Assad. Change we can believe in. And now he wants us to support a deal that releases over $100 billion in frozen Iranian assets, and makes it possible for Iran to immediately be able to sell its crude and its gas on world markets without any restriction. And Iran's ability to acquire whatever weaponry it may wish to have. All to postpone for 1 year its ability to produce a nuclear bomb. For 1 year. All of that. The infrastructure doesn't change. Oh, yes, you'll hear that Iran must reduce by 50% and then by two-thirds its stockpile of 20% uranium, enriched uranium-235. And they will diminish by 50% or thereabout the number of centrifuges that it is using to manufacture more enriched uranium. But I would ask you this. Why would they need any centrifuges to refine uranium if, in fact, they were reducing their stockpile. And the reality is, all they're doing is transferring 50% of their currently enriched uranium to another form, which still can be converted into weapons-grade uranium. And to keep in mind, during all of this, as Iran says, oh, our intentions are peaceable. And they said originally their intent was to make electricity. Keep in mind that any fissile purity beyond 4% is useless in the generation of electricity. And as a matter of fact, the best now nuclear power plants work on spent rods from existing power plants at much below 4% fissile purity. And that it takes about 90% of the effort to take uranium to 20% fissile purity, and only 10% of the energy and time is required to convert it into weapons-grade material. Iran, my friends, is giving up nothing. Nothing. Allegedly, this will postpone their ability to produce a bomb by a year, and for that, they get whatever conventional weapons they can buy. They get $100 billion released, and their economy, which is based solely on the sale of oil and gas, is completely released. All sanctions. It is a complete surrender. Total capitulation. And yet, the moron-in-chief of the United States, the chief moron, would hail it as a hopeful world. Hope for what? You know, you need hope because that's all you got. Reality sucks. So just this change we can believe in that turned out to be nothing but muck, that all it did was accelerate the death spiral that America was already in every category that matters. Now all that is left is hope. Because a realization, a cold and calculating evaluation of reality is a very, very dark picture. This agreement will be debated in the U.S. Congress, but the Obaminator said he would veto any measure to block it, meaning you'd have to have two-thirds to override his veto. The deal offers an opportunity to move in a new direction. We should seize it. Yes, the direction it provides is for Iran to be completely weaponized, to be wholly energized. It is a complete capitulation in every possible way. Under the deal, sanctions imposed by the United States, the European Union, and United Nations will be lifted in return for Iran agreeing to curbs on its nuclear program. Curbs, mind you, curbs. You know, I have a couple of cars here in my Ohio home. One is a Jaguar convertible. A curb is an unsurmountable obstacle to my Jaguar convertible. It sits low on the ground. The nose sticks, protrudes way out from the wheels of that car. You come up against the curb, and that car is kaput. It has to stay on the pavement. I also have a SUV. Now, that SUV would laugh at a curb. It could climb the curb and go on the sidewalk up in the front lawn. It doesn't need no driveway to get into the parking lot or into the garage. A curb. You're going to take a country the size of Iran that is engaged in a war to the death with all of its surrounding Sunni Muslim neighbors. And you're going to place a curb along the street to nuclear bombs. How effective do you think curbs are going to be? The agreement is a monumentous political victory for both Obama, who has long promised to reach out to historic enemies. Yeah, he did a nice job with China, now that he has focused U.S. military capability against China and has positioned China as the predominant enemy of America, and he is reengaged in a Cold War against Russia. And now with Iran, we have total capitulation. Wow. I guess that is a new direction, that's for sure. How that's a victory? I guess you'd have to be a liberal nincompoop, which would be most of people who write for the media. This particular article, I think, was from Reuters, but I could have picked up the same thing from the BBC or any other left-wing media outlet. But yet it will be hailed by those who are politically correct, which would be morally incapacitated, as a victory. And it's being hailed as a victory for Rouhani, who is a pragmatist elected 2 years ago to vow to reduce the isolation of his nation of almost 80 million people. You know, they used to paint Rouhani as a moderate in a liberal world of religious zealots, our conservative world of religious zealots. Rouhani is the man who was the closest individual to the Grand Ayatollah Khomeini when he turned Iran into a religious fiefdom. He not only was with the Grand Ayatollah in France, but he paved the way for his return to Iran. He was in charge when Americans were kidnapped. Rouhani is as much a moderate as is Pope Francis. Rouhani is as much a moderate as was Mao. You couldn't be more of a zealot than Rouhani. He was not only the chief aide to the Grand Ayatollah Khomeini, but also was the man most responsible for his return and turning Iran into the ridiculous and destructive theocracy that exists today. And he was then promoted to be head of Iran's military when Iran was at war with Iraq. Now, Iran has been given Iraq. So he is no moderate, and he's certainly no pragmatist. This goes on to say that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the deal a bad mistake of historic proportions. That's the truth. It is a bad mistake of historic proportions. Iran will get a jackpot, a cash bonanza of hundreds of billions of dollars, which will enable it to continue to pursue its aggression and terror in the region and throughout the world. Iran is going to receive a sure and certain path to nuclear weapons. Now, how is that a victory? How is that something we ought to be celebrating? Have we lost our mind? I would ask you, is there any country in the world that has anywhere near the capacity for intelligence gathering in Iran than does Israel? Does any other country have software in Iran capable of reporting what Iran is accomplishing as it relates to its nuclear program, other than Israel? Isn't Israel the only country that has its own human resources embedded within the Iranian government and scientific community? Has anyone other than Israel been able to throttle the Iranian nuclear ambition? No one knows this situation better than Israel and its Mossad, and they know it because the leaders of Iran have repeatedly declared that its nuclear program is designed to eradicate Israel, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. It's life and death for Israel. And Israel's Mossad is unlike the American CIA. The best the American CIA can do is try to bribe others to turn and become traitors. And typically they accept the money and continue to do what they were already doing, feeding America bogus information while depriving America of any actionable intelligence. That's not the case with Israel. Israelis risk their lives to save the nation. When Benjamin Netanyahu calls this a mistake of historic proportions, when he says that Iran will receive the jackpot and receive hundreds of billions of dollars and yet can continue its aggression, in fact, it will be facilitated in its war against Sunni Islam and its sponsorship of terror, particularly against Israel. He's telling the truth. And he knows better than anyone alive the current status of the Iranian nuclear program. At very best, if you look at the pie in the sky of the Obaminator, this will simply postpone Iran's capability for creating a nuclear bomb by 12 months. 12 months. His deputy foreign minister, this would be Netanyahu's, Tzipi Hotevele called the deal a historic surrender. That's what I referred to it. It's a surrender. Total and complete capitulation. He went on to say it's an act with, that he will act, as will Israel, with all means to try to stop the agreement being ratified. It's a clear threat to use Israel's influence to influence Democrats in the U.S. Congress to stand by Republicans. Congress has 60 days to review the deal, though if it rejects it, Obama will use his veto. It would require a two-thirds of lawmakers to override such a veto, which means that some of Obama's fellow Democrats would have to rebel against one of their president's signature achievements in order to kill the deal. I guess capitulation is now an achievement. When you are so inept that a complete capitulation with the most dangerous enemy in the world today, which enables them not only to revitalize their economy, to re-equip their military, and to complete their nuclear ambitions, to make a bomb to destroy Israel and surrounding Sunni nations. While that nation is in an open war with all Sunni Muslims and has declared the will to destroy America and Israel, if total capitulation to them is considered his signature achievement, then I want to tell you, that's one sad sack of an individual. Shame on you, Americans, who voted for him. Shame on you. You ought to be wholly and completely repulsed by your own actions. Republicans lined up against it. Presidential candidate Lindsey Graham, a senator from South Carolina, called it a terrible deal that would make matters worse. He's right. I'm not a fan of Lindsey Graham. I think he is counterproductive. But he's right. Nor were the hardliners from Iran silent. By the way, there's no such thing as a hardliner from Iran. The Iranian government is wholly and completely, totally devout in its adherence to the principles of Shia Islam. It is a religious government. There are only conservatives and hardliners in the Iranian government. If you're not a religious zealot, if you're not a devoted Shia Muslim, you are not in the Iranian government. This is their quote. Celebrating too early can send a bad signal to the enemy. Who is the enemy? The United States. Celebrating too early. What does that mean? That means that they recognize that the United States totally and completely surrendered, capitulated. And so they want to celebrate. They are celebrating because they won. America and the world lost. But they realize that it still must be ratified by Congress, and the fact that they're dancing in the streets and celebrating because they got everything they wanted and gave up nothing, you know, would prove that Obama simply capitulated. Surrendered. So he's just saying, don't celebrate, not because the Iranians won't affirm the deal. Don't celebrate too early so that it doesn't dissuade the U.S. Congress from ratifying the deal. Because this is not, you know, in a negotiation that has any credibility, both sides give and take. This was America in total retreat, wholesale capitulation. This is the conservative lobbying. Conservative. They want to make it look like a conservative, like the Republican Party. They're all those conservatives. No. Zakani, like everyone else in the Iranian government, is a fundamentalist Shia Muslim. Iran's National Security Council is going to review the accord, and if they think it is against our national interests, we will not have a deal. Yeah. They're not going to review the accord. The only one that will determine whether or not Iran will accept the accord is the Ayatollah. And he has been completely against any accord that would allow any inspections of his nuclear program or any retreat. And he would veto any agreement that doesn't immediately unfreeze all of Iran's assets and completely reestablish Iran's ability to buy weapons and to sell oil and gas. If he agrees to it, then you will know that Obama capitulated on everything. Once the implementation is confirmed, Iran will immediately gain access to $100 billion in frozen assets and total and complete unfettered access to the international financial system, as well as the ability to resume sales of oil that had been dramatically curtailed. The provisions of the accord are as follows. Iran is going to reduce its current stockpile of low-enriched uranium. It's not low-enriched. It's 20% enriched. Low-enriched uranium, 235, is 4%. 4% is what you'd use in a nuclear power plant. 20% has only two purposes, one of which is irrelevant in a country run by religious zealots, which would be you could use a tiny amount of it in academic research. But Iran has gargantuan stockpiles of it. And in Iran, there is no intelligentsia. There's no educational system that would even qualify anybody to do medical research using uranium, which means 100% of their uranium is for a bomb.
So you mean there's no advancements or anything in a society that suppresses its people? That's weird.
Yep. So all that Iran is doing is reducing its current stockpile of 20% uranium to a form which would take it a year to repurpose into a bomb. It's going to reduce by two-thirds the number of centrifuges operating to enrich uranium. Boy, isn't that swell. Now, if you're reducing your stockpile, why would you have any centrifuges? And by the way, the fact that they're reducing, all they're doing is they have tens of thousands of these centrifuges, and they only perform at a quasi-efficient level for a short period of time. And so they're constantly adding new ones. And a new one, you know, is like most things. One new one does the work of three old ones. And so you can reduce the number of them by two-thirds and still have twice the capacity. And they're going to move operating centrifuges from its center and Natanz. Remaining centrifuges get moved to a continuously monitored storage site. Taken together, the limits on fuel and centrifuges would extend to 1 year, the amount of time necessary for Iran to produce enough weapons-grade material for a nuclear bomb. International sanctions against Iran will be lifted immediately, allowing it to start selling oil again on international markets and using the global financial system for trade. An international arms embargo on Iran would be eliminated. The pace of that elimination determined in part by whether the International Atomic Energy Agency judges Iran's nuclear program will be entirely peaceful. There is no peaceful element to Iran's nuclear program. Iran sits on oceans of natural gas, which is the most efficient way to boil water. And therefore, it has no peaceful nuclear program. There's nothing that it can do peacefully with nuclear power. It's a complete waste for Iran. If you discharge more natural gas, you're burning it up in the air because you have no means of even capitalizing on it, and you put a steam electrical facility in those places where you're just discharging the natural gas and burning it up in the atmosphere, you would generate vastly more electricity than the Iranians could possibly use. And so there is no purpose. And when Iran went from 4% fissile purity to 20%, which is 90% of the energy and time required for a nuclear bomb, they demonstrated they have no peaceful purpose. So if they're going to allow any part of Iran's nuclear program, which they obviously are, and substantial, it's for manufacturing a bomb. And everybody knows it. The new restrictions prevent Iran for a short period of time from experimenting with designing warheads and conducting experiments on many-point detonations and other weapons-related triggers and technologies. And no big deal, they already have all of that accomplished. Scott Walker, the Wisconsin governor, who announced on Monday that he would seek the Republican nomination for president, said in a statement that the accord was one of the United States' worst diplomatic failures. President Obama's nuclear agreement with Iran will be remembered as America's worst diplomatic failure. The deal allows Tehran to dismantle U.S. and international sanctions without dismantling its illicit nuclear infrastructure, giving Iran's nuclear weapons capability an American stamp of approval. That's exactly what the Obamanator intended. In crafting this agreement, President Obama has abandoned the bipartisan principles that have guided our non-proliferation policy and kept the world safe from nuclear danger for decades. Instead of making the world safer, this deal will lead to a nuclear arms race in the most dangerous region. And indeed it will. The Saudi Arabians will absolutely augment their nuclear capability. So will the Kuwaitis, because their arch enemy is in fact Iran. What's worse, by the way, the Saudi Arabians have already said this. They said that the deal, the terms of a deal which were leaked about a month ago, which were much more restrictive on Iran than this. Even on that much tougher deal, the Saudi Arabians said it will require us to be a heavily armed nuclear nation. And so they've already announced their intent. They've told us what they were going to do. They're going to do it, and they have all the money in the world to accomplish it. We've started a new arms race. Thank you, Mr. Obaminator. This quote continues from Scott Walker. I call on all congressional leaders and presidential candidates, including Mrs. Clinton, to repudiate this agreement. Iran's president, our supreme leader, let's not call him a president, the Ayatollah, should know that a future American president will not be bound by this diplomatic retreat. Undoing the damage caused by this deal will not be easy. But when the United States leads and has a president who isn't eager to embrace Iran, the world will follow. In order to ensure the safety of America and our allies, the next president must restore bipartisan and international opposition to Iran's nuclear program, while standing with our allies to roll back Iran's destructive influence across the Middle East. The only thing I would change to that really is I would add something to it. And the thing that I would add to it is the realization that the most destructive influence in the Middle East is Islam. That's why Sunnis and Shia are engaged in a fight to the last. A fight that nothing will stop. The only thing that you can do intelligently is to stop funding them. This, of course, works in the opposite direction. This provides more funds for the side that was already strangled economically. This assures that that war will be a fight to the death. And the second thing you can do is to preclude arms shipments. Don't send any weapons to either side, and of course America is doing both. We're arming both sides. And this deal specifically enables Iran to have access to weapons systems. So that's the primary problem in the Middle East. It's strictly Islam. It was born as a criminal enterprise and a terrorist manifesto.
Did we seriously agree to a deal that, okay, you guys can't make a nuclear missile, but, hey, we're going to give you weapon systems?
Oh, no, they can make ballistic missiles.
Okay.
And they do manufacture ballistic
missiles. Well, I'm saying that.
So they can make all the intercontinental ballistic missiles they want. There is no restriction on that.
And then we just gave them better equipment.
All we did here is release hundreds of billions of dollars worth of frozen assets and then told Iran that it now can sell oil and gas unfettered on international markets, which is worth many, many hundreds of billions of dollars to Iran, and then gave them a carte blanche to buy whatever weapon systems that they want so that they can escalate the Iranian war, the Shia war against Sunni Islam, while we postponed development of a nuclear bomb by 12 months.
How are we this stupid? How?
Well, you know, ignorance is a terrible thing. And, you know, the sad thing is it's not just our leaders. You know, it's the average American. You know, we are wholly and completely ignorant of the world as it is. And so the Obaminator can say, you know, this is hope to believe in. You know, hope, which is based on wishful thinking. It's breathtaking. Not only how stupid we are and malevolent we are in the world, how erroneously we view ourselves, and because I was going to say that the next most destructive force in the Middle East is America. I mean, we're the ones that ignited and enabled the Sunni-Shia war. That is, you know, destroying Syria, destroying Yemen, destroying Iraq. We initiated that, and we're arming both sides. We're the most destructive force, if you want to pull the religion of Islam and say, okay, well, overall, it's destructive.
I don't like to use we, but it works. This is so idiotic. This is so stupid.
Yes, it is.
It's the most terrifying thing that I've ever heard.
Yeah, it is.
We are so stupid. We are terrifying.
Yeah.
And I use that we lightly, but I mean I live here, so I guess it's we. But
yeah.
This is so stupid. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's as stupid as invading Vietnam based upon the lie of the Gulf of Tonkin. I don't know if it's as stupid as engaging our troops in a chemical war in the First World War based upon the deliberate sinking of the Lusitania. I don't know if it's more stupid than invading Iraq based upon lies of weapons of mass destruction.